Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, Friday edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. Sports. I still can't get over what transpired last night. That was one of the craziest, zaniest finishes to a sporting event in a final situation that we've ever seen. But of course, we've seen that from the Indiana Pacers before. The live betting during the game last night, absolutely, positively wild. And I mean wild. We're going to be all over the NBA, all over the Belmont. Millie Ball, our good friend, is going to join us to give us a betting preview for the Belmont Stakes. Looking forward to that. Big baseball night tonight. Yankees, Red Sox, still the best rivalry in all of baseball. Fired up for my Yankees, taking on the Boston Red Sox tonight. We'll get into that. And Schubel's on the bump and everything that happened last night and will happen this weekend in baseball. We're all over the Stanley Cup Final Game 2 tonight. We've got some French Open we will get into. We've got some Aaron Rodgers props and predictions we will get into. This is going to be a show. We are extra fired up today. And my goodness. As the late, great Jack Buck once said, I don't believe what I just saw. Holy cow, wow. Again, the Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton, they did it again. I mean, this game was over. Are you kidding me? Tyrese Halliburton at the buzzer. Bang! All right, that was absolutely wild. Indy was cooked by the OKC Easy Bake Oven. That was wild. Game one was in the bank. I mean, that's it. OKC was up by 15 and had a 97.9 win probability. According to our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, the in-game money line on the Pacers reached a high of plus 1,500. My goodness. The Pacers led in this game for 0.3 seconds. Not even a full second in this game. OKC had the lead for over 47 minutes. Almost the entire 48 minutes of action. My goodness, this was wild. And look, we're on record saying that we believe at the end of the day that OKC is going to win this series and OKC is going to win in six. And I thought the Pacers would take a couple of games, but in no universe did I think it was going to be like this. Absolutely, positively not. OKC up by 15, then up by 9 with 2:52 left. Teams down by 9 points with 2:52 to go in NBA Finals. 0-121 in the play-by-play era since 1997. 0-121. That means this kind of comeback, this is literally unprecedented. It's never been done before. It's historic. But of course, from an Indiana Pacers perspective, we've seen this before in this postseason. Obviously, they're down 14 against my Knicks, game number one, and there's 2:45 to go, and they come back. Remember what transpired in the first round, obviously? Pacers down 7, 39 seconds left in overtime against the Milwaukee Bucks in game 5. Bam! Find a way to win. Indiana was down 7 points against the top-seeded Cavs. Nobody beats Cleveland in Cleveland this year. 47 seconds left. They're on the road. Game 2. They already had game 1 in the bank, and bam! Won again. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Teams were 0-182 in the NBA Finals entering the ball game last night, trailing by 9 or more points in the final 3 minutes of an NBA Finals game since 1971. I wasn't even born in 1971. Now 1-182. My goodness. And obviously Tyrese Halliburton is special, and what he's able to do in crunch time is amazing. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He's so calm. He's so tenacious. He's so tough. He's so clutch. I mean, think about it, right? Most game-tying or go-ahead field goals in the final 5 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime in the playoffs since 1997. We're talking about LeBron James with 8. Tyrese Halliburton with 5 and 4 in this specific postseason. I mean, it's just amazing for your sports soul. He now has as many as Reggie Miller. As Reggie Miller. That's how tough and clutch he is. And here's the beauty of these Pacers, right? And why I thought this would be a series. Again, I want to stress, I'm never disingenuous with the audience. I did not think Indiana was going to win last night. I did not think they were going to even cover the spread last night. So I was dead wrong. But we always talk about the coaching and the calm and the toughness of this team and the togetherness and the depth. I mean, Obi Toppin ain't no stopping. He had 5 threes last night. He had those 2 monster fourth quarter threes to get Indiana back in the game. Miles Turner, who's been in Indiana for a decade, he got hot late. He had that monster jumper. He had that monster three. That was absolutely huge and cut the lead to 4 with 6:16 to go. Then he had that putback to cut it to 4, which was a tremendous, tremendous play. Nesmith had a huge 3. Nembrand had a huge 3. All of a sudden, a lead that was 6 gets cut to 3 with Nesmith and Nembrand. And honestly, I didn't think Indiana was going to win the game until SGA missed that shot at the end and then Halliburton worked his magic. But how, when Dort had that block, SGA had the layup to put OKC up by 5 with 1:27 to go. I thought that was the dagger. I really did. Like, if you didn't know, you knew, right? As apparently nobody knew. Pascal Siakam, we'll get to that for this from an OKC perspective in a second. Siakam came up huge with that unbelievable block and then had that huge rebound on the Nembrand, the air ball, the putback, cut the lead to 1. And then, of course, the defense on SGA at the end was phenomenal. Normally, SGA hits that jumper in mid-range, he hits it 9 out of 10 times. And Rick Carlisle, let's give credit where credit is due, recognized that the OKC Thunder were a little bit late, a little bit out of whack, couldn't get back on defense. Final few seconds, obviously, doesn't call the timeout, has one in the bank, doesn't use it. Halliburton, so tough, so calm, able to make a move on Wallace, move on Dort, able to rise and fire, find space. Bam! Hits the mid-range jumper to win. That was absolutely incredible. And, I mean, Halliburton is special. Pacers now 4-0 in game ones this postseason. Think about that for a second. There's so many great stats and facts and fun figures when it comes to the Indiana Pacers in game one. That's absolutely off the charts amazing what they were able to do. I mean, that's about as majestic as it gets. And listen, from an OKC perspective, you know, obviously the story, Indiana, the comeback, OKC collapse. I'm going to give you a couple of nitpicks here. You know, number one, I hated the fact they didn't start Isaiah Hartenstein. I hated it. You know, we could talk matchups, personnel. You let Indiana adjust to you. And I promise you, if they were won by double digits, I would have mentioned this as just a passing note. But you're the best team in the NBA, massive favorite in Vegas to win, one of the great single seasons in the history of the National Basketball Association. You let them make adjustments. Dagnall's a great enough coach where if you have to go small, you do it, whether it's mid-game, whether it's for game two. You don't change your lineup on what's working for the Indiana Pacers. They change to you. That's number one. I thought the defense was sensational. I'm getting ready with our incredible producer, Michael Cohen, in preparation for today's show. It's all going to be a party and a parade for OKC. And they forced all those turnovers, 25 turnovers. First half was a mess for Indiana, induced by that incredible defense for OKC. And Tyrese Halliburton, you heard him on Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter show on ESPN after the game. Told SVP that they had the jitters. They were nervous. Forced 25 turnovers. SGA had 38. Chet Holmgren was awful. 6 points, 2-9 from the field. That was unacceptable. That was terrible. And that can happen from an OKC perspective. Now, take a look at the series odds. Am I nervous about the Thunder? I want to be crystal clear here. I am not. I've always respected Indiana. We've talked about their toughness, togetherness. I said six games since last week. So I don't want to sound like all of a sudden I'm pushing a panic button here. I think it's going to be six games when it's all said and done and nothing has changed. I expect coming up on Sunday night, and I love the fact that it's an 8 o'clock Eastern time start and we'll have a lot to chew on Monday. I'll make it rain with Adam Schein. Listen, I think on Sunday we are looking at a tremendous game. I'd be floored if OKC lost. Absolutely floored. I think at this stage, it would be foolish to bet against the Indiana Pacers from a spread perspective, based upon how tough and how clutch and how dynamic and how diverse this team is. Now, it goes noted that Vegas put this number at 11. You know, we've seen this before when a heavy favorite loses game one in a series, and then they're favored by even more in game two than they were originally in game one. We've seen that a couple times, including, if you remember, and I looked this up, OKC against Denver when they lost game number one of that series. And no one has more wins in the history of the NBA in a single season by double digits, which is important here for sports betting. No one has more wins by double digits than Oklahoma City. It's as simple as that. Nobody, no team has more wins by double digits. 11, though, feels too rich of a number. Way too rich of a number. So I think that OKC, monster favorite on the money line, will be able to win. I would be stunned and floored if they didn't get this dub. I wouldn't personally touch this game. I love the SGA over for points. I think that's a good bet. But I would take Indiana plus 11 if I had to. But my goodness, I am still buzzing. That last night was one of the all-time finishes in finals history.
Make it rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let me ask you a question. You want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, who wrote it wearing his Apple Bottom jeans. And the boots with the fur. True story. Ask Josh. He'll tell you. No-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting the sharp action, making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. 24/7 video access on the critically acclaimed VSiN Watch app. Plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide. It drops on July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK to sign up. VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. And listen, I am so amped for game two of the Stanley Cup final coming up tonight. And, you know, I love this time of year when it's constant review, preview, betting review with the NBA and the NHL every single night. New game, new storyline, new games, money lines, props to bet on. And honestly, I think, and Vegas will back this up as you take a look at the board for game number two, this is a really tough one to handicap and go into the crystal ball on, because conventional wisdom says Florida bounces back. This series is too even. The matchup is too good. Obviously, Edmonton has great home ice, but Florida is sensational without question on the road. I will tell you, though, I had a great conversation yesterday with Kenny Albert from TNT, who does an amazing job as a lead play-by-play voice of the NHL on TNT. He called game one of Oilers-Panthers, calling the entire series. And Kenny framed it in his mind, for me and for the audience, in a really smart way. He said he feels like This was game eight, talking about game one, based upon the seven-game series from last year. And now it's going to be game nine, and so on and so forth. Now I'll insert my words and how it relates to a betting perspective. I feel like that all favors Edmonton. Because I feel like the way they started last year, down 0-3, came all the way back, tied it up, and then lost in game seven in Florida. Listen, I think they've learned a lot. I think they're tough. I think they're physical. I think they're clutch. And I think they don't take anything for granted. I think they know how to compartmentalize wins and losses, deal with adversity. We've seen that at every single layer, starting with down 0-2 to the LA Kings in the first round of the postseason. So I kind of really like the Oilers tonight. And I think that's an important backdrop here because I want to make this case to you, right? And we went through yesterday on Make It Rain with Adam Schein, the ebb, the flow, the ups, the downs, you know, 1-0, bam, on the Draisaitl goal. And then next thing you know, it's 2-1 and 3-1 and 3-3, goes to overtime, McDavid to Draisaitl for Leon's second goal of the game. Bam, that's absolutely incredible. I know the Oilers could play better. Like, they won the game. I know they can play a more, even more dominant game tonight. So, Panthers are tough. Panthers are clutch. If you check out the series odds, listen, Vegas sees it my way. Oilers stole a heavy favorite to win the series, relatively speaking, not the same kind of heavy favorite that OKC is, even down 0-1 as an example. But we really like Edmonton. And I think tonight they're going to win. I thought, you know, they'd win game one and they had this plus money there. And that was a good bet by yours truly. But I am very much in favor of the Edmonton Oilers not only winning, but playing much better tonight. I think that needs to be discussed in terms of what lies ahead here for the Oilers and the Panthers coming up tonight. Now, yesterday we broke in with the breaking news, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. 1-year deal. Pittsburgh made it official. And it's obviously a major, major deal. We're talking about four-time NFL MVP. We're talking about a friend of the show. We're talking about, obviously, someone who I thought, and we backed this up, was remarkable down the stretch of the season. And we stressed yesterday that it's a major upgrade over what they had last year with Wilson and Fields. And it's an upgrade, obviously, over the current depth chart with Mason Rudolph and with, obviously, Skylar Thompson and Will Howard. We focused a lot yesterday on the team and wins. I want you to take a look at some Aaron Rodgers props that have popped since the show we did yesterday. Take a look at some over-unders for Aaron Rodgers for this year. Now, I would suggest that the best bet here is Rodgers over passing yards. I think Aaron Rodgers this upcoming season can absolutely throw for at minimum 3,500 yards. So I love the over here for Rodgers. I don't even view that as a big number for this upcoming season. I'm leaning on the over for the passing touchdowns. I'm not there yet. We're not going to get on Planet Delusional and even discuss MVP or the Offensive Player of the Year. But I do think it's important here to start talking about big picture with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Rodgers, because Rodgers represents a major and monster upgrade for Pittsburgh, but I don't think it's going to do much here for the wins and losses. And look, we've been checking, right? There's no market movement here on the preseason win total. It was 8.5 with Mason Rudolph. It's 8.5 with Aaron Rodgers. This has been the number all offseason. This has been the number since the draft. This was the number 2 days ago, yesterday, today, and it's going to be the number tomorrow. And here's the deal when it comes to the number of 8.5. I'm not touching it. You know, I went from bang the under, right? That was my take with Mason Rudolph and company. The under still might hit. I'm not ready to do anything until I see chemistry with DK Metcalf, until I see how the roster configuration looks, I'm not ready to touch that. I think that the Steelers, it's too wide of a range for me to put, you know, to sprinkle anything on the over or under. The range right now is 7 to 10 wins. Like, that's what we're talking about. I think with Rodgers, if you look at the schedule, there's enough easier, quote-unquote, games that they can grab where I think they can be a 9-10 win team. Are they going to win a playoff game for the first time since the 2016 regular season? No. Are they going to get out of the division? No. I mean, you know, this schedule, the Jets to start, and how about that? Jets to start. They're also going to play the Packers on Sunday Night Football. Rodgers against his two former teams. That's going to be spicy. I think that Rodgers adds instant credibility and upside. I just think it's a weird fit. Look at the AFC North odds. The Baltimore Ravens are favored to win the division. And then you have Cincinnati next. And Pittsburgh is a distant third. And this all feels right. And Aaron Rodgers on the team, and that's great, and that's great for buzz, but this team is not winning a championship. In fact, take a look at the Steelers and their season betting profile here, because I think that if you're looking at the odds-on favorite for this team, look at what Vegas has, and it's spot on. Missed the playoffs at minus 175. That's what we're talking about here with these Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think that when you look at it, Pittsburgh has still some major problems. I don't think Mike Tomlin is, you know, really right now the right. I don't think he knows exactly what he's doing over the last 5-6 years. I think they've botched the quarterback position from the end of Ben Roethlisberger to now. And I think Aaron Rodgers makes Pittsburgh more interesting, more watchable, gives them more sizzle. Not going to do anything in terms of big picture plays here that are in the positive direction for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The tennis at the French Open has just been incredible. Men's side, women's side. How about the final tomorrow on the women's side? And there are a couple of interesting things when you look at Sabalenka versus Goff that interest me greatly. First of all, let me just say for reference sake and backdrop sake, I think Sabalenka is absolutely going to win, right? I do think Coco Gauff presents some challenges. So going through this with our incredible producer, the great Michael Cohen, he gave us a couple of interesting ones on this. Look at Coco Gauff to win at least one set. Yes, minus 165. I kind of dig that one. I think Coco can absolutely get a set. And if I'm feeling frisky, if I want to sprinkle a little on, you know, this match to kind of, you know, get me going a little bit. And I love watching the men and the women in the French Open. It's just been incredible tennis. I think Djokovic, I mean, he's just absolutely remarkable. I mean, it's just been incredible on the men and the women's side. I would not even be surprised to see total sets 2.5 go with the over at plus money at plus 125. So obviously our guy, VSiN.com superstar, friend of the show, Zach Cohen, has been all over all the bets for the French Open. But I'm fascinated by the women's final, and I think Coco Gauff is going to keep this very close and competitive coming up tomorrow.
Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse Racing's Triple Crown wrapped up Saturday with the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. Getting on the action with our friends over at First Bet and playing the free First Bets and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. Enter your picks for Saturday's top races to win great prizes. Up to a $500 wagering voucher from First Bet. Head on over to VSiN.com/Belmont to play. That's VSiN.com/Belmont. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live with the Progressive Guest Line, Millie Ball, Express Bet host and reporter, former jockey, of course. Millie was outstanding when she joined us here on Make It Rain with Adam Schein a few weeks ago. Millie, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm extremely well and extremely excited about this Saturday, Adam.
Listen, I'm excited as well. I can't wait for it. I love the way you framed that. And journalism is the morning line favorite. And journalism, of course, won the Preakness and almost won the Derby. But we know what happened with sovereignty, obviously. So I'm curious specifically when it comes to journalism. You like his odds?
I do. You know what? I still think he is the best three-year-old, but he's 8-5. And I think there's just some room for vulnerability. What we don't know is how much effort did he have to give to overcome the trouble he had in the Preakness Stakes to win. He ran equally as well, if not better, in both of those first two classics. So to come back 3 weeks later, ask him to run 1.25 again against those top three-year-olds with him, I just feel at 8-5, there is better value going somewhere else.
So give us, with that as a backdrop, and I love the way you answer that, give us your favorite horses for Saturday.
Well, I absolutely would use journalism, but I think if you're looking for value, the two that you've got to focus on are the Derby winner, Sovereignty, and Baeza. Now, Sovereignty to me, I have an inkling he is a Churchill Downs horse. His best races to date have been at Churchill Downs. You look at his workouts prior to the Derby, and they were better, in my opinion, than his ones have been at Saratoga going into the Belmont Stakes. So maybe he just had the edge because it was at the track over the surface that he adores. So I'm going to go with Baeza in here. And my main reason, Adam, is because he's a May foal. These three-year-olds develop so quickly through the early part of the year. In effect, he is so far behind horses like Journalism, who was born in February. Even Sovereignty is a February foal. So this horse is giving up those 3 months, right, where he is just catching up to being, you know, a three-year-old. And I feel like he's progressive. I feel that we've just scratched the surface with him. He's still a little bit green, which is my one concern, but he's in very capable hands with Flavien Prat. And I think Flavien, getting to know him last time when he rode him in the Kentucky Derby, will make sure that he's closer to the pace, he stays out of trouble, and he's one of those horses that's got that big grinding stride. And I think he'll appreciate the 1.25 at Saratoga here.
I love that, Millie. Now, Sovereignty, of course, did not compete in the Preakness. So I'm curious now that we look at the Belmont, how much advantage does this horse have if you want to frame it as more time off, per se, than the other horses?
Yeah, I definitely think any horse that can get time between races has an advantage. They get to, you know, they get their eating routine back. They get to recoup their energy that they expended in that race. The traveling that it takes from going from one Triple Crown race to another. So with all that being said, I think it's very advantageous that both Sovereignty and Baeza have skipped the Preakness Stakes and are focusing on this race.
Now, obviously, this year's Belmont Stakes is going to be held at Saratoga Springs instead of the usual Belmont Park racetrack in Elmont, New York, because of the track repairs. So I'm curious, as you see it, the difference in the track style between Saratoga and Belmont.
Well, it is different, yes. Belmont is 1.5 miles oval, with the long stretch. I mean, the longest stretch at Belmont Park. When you usually start to go riding, in a regular track, you're just at the top of the stretch. You got to wait a whole nother furlong at Belmont before you start riding home because it's that much longer. Saratoga is 1.8 miles. So it's going to be a little bit more like Churchill Downs, a little bit, but doesn't have that long stretch that we're accustomed to seeing at Belmont Park.
Rain is in the forecast. How do you think it can impact the race? Yeah. And if the track is wet, Millie, how could that either impact Sovereignty or Journalism specifically?
You know, those two, they both ran so good in the Kentucky Derby, which was on a sloppy track, that if I think one or the other get beat, you can't blame it on the track condition. They both got very good, what we call Tomlinson numbers on wet tracks. That means that they are supposed to excel on wet tracks should it come that way. So I really don't see that being a factor in changing the order of finish.
How about when it comes to the long shots here, right? I mean, we could go, everyone wants long shots. I want long shots, right? You know, let's start with Rodriguez coming off of the injury, right? Well rested. Do you think that benefits him against other horses that ran in the Derby and the Preakness?
I mean, he's definitely going to be fresh. The quarter crack that he had has sort of played havoc with not only his racing schedule, but also his work schedule to keep him conditioned. Bob flew him back to California. So Wes Champagne, who's our foot doctor, if you like, he's very famous for dealing with feet issues. He worked on this horse. And I don't think Bob would have sent him back to race in the Belmont had he been questioning, you know, how sound he was, or, you know, how much it has affected him. But it's more that Crudo is in the race that concerns me with Rodriguez. He's not going to get that front running lone lead and Mike Smith be able to, you know, walk the dog, as we call it, and set the fractions and put everyone to sleep behind him. I think Crudo is going to be latched onto him right from the get-go. He's a confirmed front runner. And that's why I think it sets up for horses like Baeza, Sovereignty, who are going to be coming from off the pace.
Now, Miller, we all know this race is known as a test of a champion. So I'm curious, right, just in terms of my education and the viewers and listeners as well, how is it different from a racing and or betting perspective from the prior two Jewels when it comes to the Triple Crown?
Well, it is slightly different again this year because it's a mile and a quarter and not a mile and a half. Traditionally, the Belmont Stakes is the longest race, and it's the greatest amount of stamina necessary to win it. It's the most demanding, particularly because it's the third leg. So they're running the third race in 5 weeks at the highest level. And it's also very challenging normally for a jockey because they're not used to that Belmont configuration and the long stretch and having to be patient. So it is a little different this year, but still, the test of champions, absolutely. These three-year-olds, they're so young and they're being asked to do a lot to ask a horse like Journalism, for example, to run his third race in 5 weeks. If he were to do it, absolutely. Test the champions. He is a champion off of that.
Millie, how about Hill Road in terms of the odds at 10-1? What do you think of Hill Road's odds?
You know, I considered him. He's a little slow. I'll be very frank. Will he get the distance of a mile and a quarter? Absolutely. If you watch the way he ran the Peter Pan, it was on the left lead. He was on his wrong lead the entire length of the stretch, lugging in. So if he could do that and then prick his ears forward as he crossed the wire, he's a horse that still had more left in the tank. He's just got to take a massive step forward. You could put him on the bottom of your superfector or something. Use him at the bottom of your exotics.
Millie, you're the best. We appreciate the time as always. Enjoy Saturday. We'll be watching. We'll be listening. Express Bet, of course, where you are a host and reporter, former jockey. Always love the time and the insights, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it.
You got it. Start your day with an edge and a game plan. VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Your first look at the day's betting line, sharp action, market movement in just 15 minutes. You'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers, stay ahead of the line movements, all before your morning coffee is gone. I love my morning coffee. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets Podcast. Fast, focused, built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast wherever the hell you get your podcasts. Or you can get it like I do on the critically acclaimed VSiN Watch app.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time to shine on baseball. And let's do some review, some preview, get some bets in for tonight on Major League Baseball. It's that time of year, right? I mean, it's the first full weekend in June, and we're talking about barbecue, we're talking about baseball, we're talking about betting on America's national pastime. Doesn't get much better than this. And how about the Diamondbacks? Boy, if I'm a Braves fan, I am sick. And this is one where watching the money move and the market move with Arizona and Atlanta in this comeback, Arizona was 7 runs in the ninth to come back and beat the Braves. Down 10-4, one out in the ninth. Arizona scored 7, an 11-10 win, busted out the brooms, and swept the Braves. Honestly, this is such a terrible job by Atlanta. And I keep saying Braves are going to find a way. They're going to make the playoffs. I had the Braves in the playoffs before the season started. Acuna Jr.'s back. Strider's back. This is one where you kind of use the Yogiism. It's you know, getting late early. I'm very disappointed here in the Atlanta Braves. Very disappointed. You have to start winning the games where you have a big lead. You have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. They couldn't get it done against Arizona. Couldn't get it done against Boston. Both those teams came into Atlanta scuffling, really disappointing in how they're performing, how they can't preserve leads. The pitch, it's really right now a failure top to bottom. Normally, I consider the Atlanta Braves a sure bet, an organizational juggernaut, a very reliable team and organization, front office, manager. It's all right now a bit of a bad vibe, bad brew. I'm feeling pretty gross when it comes to the Atlanta Braves right about now. Still time. It's early. Marathon, not a sprint, but these are the kind of games, especially when you consider the National League and the National League East, right? I mean, you could have 3 teams, 4 teams from the NL West make the playoffs. You have to deal with the Mets and the Phillies. So look at the NL East standings and odds, right? And this is the point. The Braves right now are trailing Washington in the standings. Now, that will change, but forget right now Philly and New York. I mean, look at it. Mets have the odds right now, minus 130 to win the division. I still like Philadelphia, even as they have come back down to earth a bit. They're now at plus money, which I do think is a good bet. But Atlanta is now 16-1 to win the division. That's not good if you're a Braves better or a fan of the Atlanta Braves. How about the Dodgers rallying late, and they were able to secure a split with the Mets? And this might sound funny as someone who believes the Dodgers winning the World Series, but I'm going to stay very consistent on this one. I thought getting a split with New York was a huge win. If you remember on Monday's sizzling edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein, I said that the Mets were getting Los Angeles at the right time. And I picked the Mets to take 3 out of 4. And we nailed the first 3 games on the money line. I was wrong yesterday. And honestly, I think for the Dodgers to get this game, I think that's a big deal. They have so many injuries. The starting staff is depleted. And that has had a negative impact on the bullpen, which is a bit overworked. I'm not going to overreact to anything in a negative fashion for the Dodgers, because I just think they're too tough. They're too great. They're too battle-tested. If anything, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm saying, okay, I'm a little concerned about a game like that. Want to be able, when you have a lead, to secure that dub. Now, from an NL West perspective, we showed you the NL East odds before. Take a look at the NL West and the NL West odds. And look, Dodgers, massive favorites in the division. Nothing's going to change there. Nothing is going to change. I do think, look at the difference in the loss column, right? Only one game separates Padres and the Dodgers. 3 games separate the Giants and Los Angeles. So it's going to be a fun dogfight down the stretch. Arizona is back up to 500 after they busted out the Brewers, as we mentioned, and sweep away the Atlanta Braves. 3-4 teams could make the playoffs in the National League from the National League West. I don't think that's hyperbole at all. So getting a win like that to keep everyone else at bay, especially with all the injuries, and you're playing a team that's piping hot, and I've been wrong on the Mets so far to start this season, I thought that was a big deal by the LA Dodgers yesterday. The White Sox walked it off in the 10th with a victory going up against the Tigers yesterday. That was fascinating. And, I mean, take a look at this. If you have the Chicago White Sox at plus 170, I don't want to say you're lying, but I'm going to like to see your ticket. How about the A's putting up a couple of touchdowns against the Minnesota Twins? You mentioned the Pablo Lopez injury. And listen, he's out for a couple of months, and that really just at this stage, I think that's see ya for the Minnesota Twins. And honestly, that's the kind of domino effect when you see a score like this, you know, just a sagging defeat, you know, a steam out the window. That was a bitter disappointment from the Twins. And I think if you're a Twins fan, I hate to say it, I'd get used to it. Let's get into some of the action for tonight. Listen, I'm a diehard Yankees fan. Whenever you have Yankees, Red Sox, and it's relevant, and I still think even in a year where it's not relevant, still the best rivalry in baseball. I can't wait for it. Yankees, even with Will Warren on the bump, and he got lit up like a Christmas tree in December, akin to batting practice, gave up 8 runs against the Dodgers last week. I'm laughing because now I can at least, you know, find it funny. I was not laughing at the time. I mean, the Yankees have Will Warren on the mound, and they're minus 206 on the money line. Minus 206 on the money line. Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. I know what Walker Buehler did to my team last year, obviously, in the World Series. Well, Boston still scares me, to be honest with you, but I can't stress enough how much I love the Yankees on the run line. We had the Yankees on the run line behind Max Fried last night. We hit on that. That was the G-Bank best bet. Got all your tweets. Appreciate that. And I can't stress enough how much I love the over on the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox for tonight as well. We have Scooble against Ben Brown tonight for the Cubs and the Tigers. There is plus money on Scooble strikeouts. If you get it like I did at 7.5, you can get it plus 105. I locked that in this morning. So that will be our play on this one. The Tigers are going to win. I mean, there's no juice with the money line. I'm not going to touch that with the run line. I do have a lot of respect for the Cubs and their offense and also Ben Brown. I'll play Scooble, though, on over strikeouts, 7.5 at plus 105. We've got the Astros and the Guardians tonight. Colton Gordon going up against Logan Allen. And I think that Houston will be able to win this one on the money line. Houston is like Freddy and Jason in the horror movie. You think they're dead and they just keep coming back to life. And I really think that the Houston Astros here, the fact that the teams in the NL West couldn't kill them early, boy, that's rough stuff. Blue Jays have been playing incredible baseball. They're at Minnesota tonight. It's an interesting one in terms of the odds, right? Where you take a look at it and you believe that this is one where we will see another Blue Jays win. That, to me, is a very favorable situation for Toronto. Plus money at 118. That would be my play here for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Dodgers Cardinals coming up tonight. You know I love betting on Sonny Gray. Goes noted, the odds makers in Vegas have the Cardinals favored in this one. Will I bet on Sonny Gray one more time? Why not? YOLO. Time right now to give out our best bets. Brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. First 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. Trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October the 31st, $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank, VSiN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. For the best bet, we're going to go with an over. You saw it on the screen before at 8.5. We'll add a little and juice it up to 9. Over 9 runs plus 100. It's Bueller against Will Warren. Yeah, a lot of runs tonight. Hot human nights at Yankee Stadium. Stay tuned to VSiN after Make It Rain. Follow the money. Mitch and Paulie. Jeff Siegel, horse betting expert, is going to join the guys. Then it's VSiN Prime Time with Matty Humans and Will Hill. And then stick around for the Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green. Not that Sean Green, but our Sean Green. And Ryan Kramer coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. For all the guys in our Vegas control room and the great Michael Cohen, I'm Adam Schein. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday. Make it rain with Adam Schein.